You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Another amazing Cooligans episode.
Dude, this one is going to be
sick. Oh my God.
All right.
This is a musto listen.
Hey.
Okay, you need three horns for that one,
thank
bro.
You.
Because that was a... That was an absolute banger. Yes, Robbie Musto of NBC Premier League coverage is going to be joining us in just a bit.
Dude, it's crazy.
Just and then that's it. Just the homies coming through.
That's
in
it.
In studio. Not fun. I was like, nah, we can't do this over FaceTime.
No, he was like, why don't I do this? Why don't I dial in? I said, nah, not allowed. Okay. Also, we don't call it that anymore. Okay.
No, I know you're gonna you can't use a video on your rotary phone, Robbie.
Damn.
Nah, you can't, it's not how it works.
He got that phone where it's like the one thing's in the ear and he's got the mouth on the other.
Boom.
How would you chaps like it if I dialed in? No, but this is incredible. What an honor to have him in studio hanging out. Hey, look, we know MLS playoffs are happening. Here's what we're gonna do. Thursday's episode, all the first match days
right.
will be done. We'll talk about it all then.
I too cannot believe Sporting Kansas City won. All right,
what is going on? Remember when I bet on St. Louis to win the whole thing? Come on, man.
So we will give you all the coverage of the first round of MLS playoffs on Thursday. So make sure you are you come back for that. But yes, Robbie Musto hung out with us, and we're going to be talking to him.
Some dope stories, man.
A little bit. And it's, yeah, you guys are going to be, big, big fans of this episode.
Nobody
and even bigger
it.
Fans of Robbie Musto.
Everybody loves him already, but you're going to find a way to love him even more.
Exactly.
You know?
All right. So just a reminder, everybody, make sure you subscribe here on YouTube. If you're listening to the podcast, please hit the subscribe button. Download the podcast. Tell your friends. Let people know. We've been, Alexis was just in Canada for Canada, the Canadian Premier League final.
The grand final, bro.
La gran final, eh?
That's right.
Eh? Finale.
That's them speaking Italian and Canadian at the same time.
Okay. And a lot of, they were Cooligans fans showing you a lot of love out there. So that was really dope. So we'll talk about that as well, because I haven't really heard all the stories.
I've got to hear some crazy stories.
On Thursday. What's kind of like, Alexis? Yeah. What's the healthcare like up there?
Bro, they rub brown bacon on anything you break. I don't think people really know that about their healthcare.
So subscribe on YouTube, and shout out to everybody watching on DraftKings Network, Samsung TV or whatever, wherever
you're
watching.
You,
we appreciate you. But
We love you, man.
Don't forget to hit that subscribe button right before Robbie Musto joins us. So everybody, we didn't even say our names. I'm Christian Polanco. That's Alexis
Guerrero.
Easy Cooligans, buddy.
Okay, we have to do that stuff.
Glad that's been established.
Yeah. As well.
That was Mike.
Some people were concerned. but let's go. Robbie Musto in studio right now. Here we go.
4th of July savings are happening now at the Home Depot. So get ready to go big with backyard barbecues for all your friends and family. Level up with the Next Grill 4-Burner Propane Gas Grill, now $199 from the Home Depot. Its extra-large cooking surface is perfect for super-sized entertaining. Take your grilling to the next level with 4th of July savings at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
When we say legends only...
Exclusively.
Bro, we obviously mean it. If you are listening, you don't know who it is yet, unless you read the title. If you're watching, you know who this gentleman is next to us, and you're wondering right now, what bet did he lose that he decided to go on Cooligans? The voice you're listening to is one of the voices of the Premier League.
It makes me feel just comfortable and warm,
right?
When I hear his voice.
His voice is like a hug from a British dad you didn't know you had. Ladies and gentlemen, Robbie Musto, everybody.
Thank you very much.
very nice of you. Thank you very much. Nice to be here. I'm sorry to be the first voice you hear in the mornings, probably.
No, not at all.
I'm sorry about that.
No, that's the main thing. I've upgraded from Saturday morning cartoons to you, Rebecca, and
Tim and Robin. Yeah. And Tim sorry about that. Yeah. Not quite as funny, actually, I hope.
Could one of you, you know, talk like a Ninja Turtle? That would help. That would help Christian out with the transition.
But Robbie, thank you so much for joining us. This is great. I mean, we've gotten to know each other a lot, especially working together on the Premier League Fan Fest, and that's been quite the experience. So that's my first question. What's it like to work with the Cooligans on a professional level? Everybody wants to know.
And then once you answer this, you're free to go.
It's been great. It's been good. I mean, it's an important part of what we do. As long as you don't give me stick with your banter, I'm okay with it. If start picking on me, then there's going to be a problem. Don't even start on Rebecca. Don't try and get funny with her.
No. Funny enough, you're like not easy to pick on because you're like a likable guy. It's almost anti-American when you think about it.
Yeah.
When we were preparing, we were always trying to find who do we make fun of per se, but like how far do we go? We the fan fests are we can't roast the supporters too much because they're there to have a good time.
I was told to calm it down.
So who are you going to target? So that's what you're saying. You can't target them. You can't target us. You want to kind of play with you guys.
It's more about we can sort of tease the relationship you all have with each other, sort of different aspects of it. Each of you individually, it's so wild because the fan fest, you start to see how much people truly do like wake up with you, and you are so much a part of their lives that they really do like love you. You guys have
the crowd would turn on us.
You guys are like a K-pop group. You know what I mean? Like people go nuts when they see you guys.
I know it is nuts, and that happens at like 5 a.m. in the morning wherever we're at, because they have to queue to get in really early. Of course, we queue to get there to rehearse and get the show ready and stuff like that. And they are so fired up at that time in the morning. And we always go over and find the queue of people, the line of people, and go over and say hi and thanks for coming out and all that. And it's so lovely. Honestly, it is so lovely to jump on the stage wherever it is in the country, because people are so nice to us. And they're so appreciative of what we do. Thanks for coming to our city. We love the Premier League. So it's blimmin'. Honestly, it's probably the nicest things that we do regularly. Get out of the studio, go and meet people, because they're so nice to us.
Who doesn't
love that?
Now, Christian and I have had the luxury of being in England at a time filming content and meeting fans in England, especially football fans in England. And can you explain to the people listening how different it is to have football fans in America and their reaction to you versus what you might see in England?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Because I don't think people really understand the, and I want to use the term toxicity. Make sure every T in there gets a moment.
Well, I mean, first off, an event like the FanFest would never happen in the UK.
Right.
First off, main reason is that people care so much about their teams and their club and their town and their area that there's nothing that's more important than their team doing well or you speaking well about their club. So first off, from us, you hate Man City or whoever it is, we're going to get that from each bunch of people. And if there's two teams that are playing each other in a game with alcohol involved and stuff, there's no way. Right, there's just no way that's going to work, because someone's going to say the wrong thing, and because they care so much about it, you're going to get trouble, and that's the big difference. So like the origin is they care. It's like it's so important to them. And to bring them with alcohol in the same venue, watching a game with a banter, police or stewards, forget about it.
Well, I'm not going to say who, but there was one of the Premier League related folks who played for a while was there. And there was like a moment where I kind of saw this person looking out into this crowd of people. And if you've never experienced FanFest, Philadelphia in particular, it was like a square, like a quad, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it was jammed, and there was no group of color. Like every person was wearing a different kit. And there was a little bit of sadness in this person's eyes. And I said, hey, is everything all right? And they said, yeah, I'm just upset that in the country I'm from, we could never do this.
Yeah.
He's like, there would be blood in the street.
It would.
Well, I wonder, because, you know, we get sort of teased online. Just like if we're, as Americans, just speaking about two Premier League clubs, the comments are usually like, Americans are finally learning about the rest of the world, and blah, blah, blah. But there's something to the what America has brought to the Premier League and brought to football, which are we washing it down, the incredible passion around it, or are we making it more inclusive, which is how I tend to feel.
You're making it exciting, and what we find is that there's new fans, and new fans are full of enthusiasm and excitement. And you know, and that's what you're bringing,
right?
And not bringing any flipping drudgery or miserable nature of my team. We're always rubbish and terrible, and he shouldn't play, and he should be fired, and all that. It's a fresh, which is America, isn't it?
Optimism,
it's America. Optimism is positive, excited, happy to be there, enjoy the game, enjoy us. There's very little horrible stuff,
right?
And it may be, you know, that the longer we do this, and maybe it changes a little bit, where Americans love it so much, they start getting a little bit more edgy. Mm-hmm. But right now, we couldn't love it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, when we went to Liverpool, we were filming something with Everton, and the main comment I got from a lot of people was they were like, oh, you know, I was wearing an Everton shirt. They're like, you're an Everton fan. They heard my accent. And instead of saying like, oh, thank you for supporting the club and blah, blah, they were like, why did you do this to yourself?
And by the way, some of those were Everton
those
fans.
Those were Everton fans.
A guy in a pub goes, I know you're not a real Everton fan because you're wearing an Everton shirt. And he goes, no, I'm an Everton fan. He goes, I'm an Everton fan. I'm not wearing an Everton shirt. Why would you do this to yourself?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's typical. That's typical. But they'll never change. You know, it'll joke about why you're an Everton fan, but it'll never change. You'll never go to the red side or go to a different team. So that's a little bit different too, isn't it? I mean, they wouldn't follow players like, with some examples, like high-profile players that leave one Premier League club to go to another one. Well, fans ain't going to go with him.
Right.
I mean, it's becoming common for like younger American fans.
What, because to stick with that team?
No, to be a fan of a player, not a team.
Yeah, that's never going to happen.
But it's different,
never.
Right? They're following him on social media. But in England, I could never imagine someone being like, I don't know, I'm a big Sol Campbell fan, so I'm going to go from Tottenham to Arsenal.
Yeah.
I would have never happened.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. That's never going to happen, no.
Well, I mean, Richarlison left Everton and, is begging to score a goal for Tottenham.
Yeah, he's struggling a little bit. Yeah.
But, you know, when he scored against Liverpool, and then I think the goal got taken back or something like that. But I was just like, yeah, goal for Richarlison.
he had a massive celebration, didn't he? I think he was sliding shirt off everything.
Taking the shirt off, doing
damn
the
VAR again.
But it is fun and remarkable. One of the things when we were hanging out at FanFest and getting to know you, and I think a lot of people don't really know too much about how you got here and your career and your start and your playing days. I think there's something, I don't know if it's your likability, but I think when I first saw you on Premier League coverage, I was just like, I wasn't even sure if you were a former player. You were so likable and nice.
Well, how was that?
There's just something so...
You've heard of Roy Keane, right?
I'm the opposite of him.
You don't carry yourself in that way. You have you seem like you're enjoying yourself.
There's something about it, because when I first started doing TV with ESPN, right, as a producer called Steve Polisi, he's still doing it now, he's a brilliant, brilliant guy. And I first started doing TV shows and stuff, where I got to find the cameras, and which camera am I looking at, and all this kind of stuff, and he's talking to me in my ear. I literally went home in my car, and I phoned Steve, and I say, I can't stand this, I hate TV, you know, I'm struggling, I don't know where to look, I got to try and, because you had to take the question from Derek Ray or whoever it was asking the questions back then, and then look into a camera, and then the timing, had to bring it back to them to finish up the answer, and I struggled. And I tell that story because he said to me, you're doing fine, you come across as a likable guy.
Okay.
So I don't know. So that's one thing that kept me going. I'm happy, and I'm happy that you picked up on it as well, because I struggle with everything else. I mean, like anything else, it is reps. So the more I did it, the more I got used to it, and time and time and time and time, I'm more comfortable. But that's one thing that they, I don't know. I don't know. But I did play, honestly.
You did play.
You did, We have your career. We have your career up here.
At Oxford.
Oxford. And that's my team. If you ask me who I'm a fan of, it would be Oxford United. And I'm a terrible fan because I don't follow them because my head's in Premier League all the time. But that's where I fell in love with the game, by going with my brother to watch Oxford United in a little tiny little stadium, really, in a team that was in the third tier at the time, and watch those guys pinging the ball around the field. I was like, wow.
Were they pinging? Were they pinging though?
They were pinging.
They weren't huffing and chasing.
Yeah,
a lot of mud getting kicked up.
A lot of mud.
Getting off the ground.
Yeah.
So that's where it started for me. So I ended up playing for them. Yeah. So I was a late developer in that sense. I was a kid at high school that nobody thought was going to be a player. There was like four or five that were going to be pros. I wasn't one of those. But I just grew up late, and I got recognised to go and try out for Oxford United, and that's where it started. And I played for them for 4 years, which was great. And then I got transferred to Middlesbrough in the northeast of the country. And I'll be honest with you, Middlesbrough, I had no idea. I honestly thought it was in the middle of the country.
It's called Middlesbrough.
It's Middlesbrough. So yeah. I thought that, but no, it's not. It's up in the northeast, which is a long way away from home.
Is it close to Newcastle? Sunderland, Middlesbrough, it's that northeast.
Really great place to play football, right. But a long way away from home as a 21-year-old. But it was absolutely fine, and that's kind of where I did my work. Really, I was 12 years there, promotions, a couple of relegations, cup finals. It was just wonderful, brilliant time.
Right, I think we
don't have promotion and relegation here.
I feel so strongly that would make Major League Soccer and the whole. If there was going to be a pyramid, it would make it so much fun to watch.
Actually, Apple just shut our broadcast. we don't have a podcast.
Is that the wrong thing? Sorry, is that the wrong thing?
No, please talk about it.
Security guard comes in, chokes out Robbie.
Pulls him out. Robbie Earl's sitting in the seat now. He's like, I hate promotion. We're good.
Bye. No, we all have cigars. We're like, yes.
Of course we do, too. I'm just counting money. Robbie must have never heard of him. Must not be that important, am I right? No, we agree with you. We've talked about it on the show many times before, but I think for the fans who've never experienced it, from a player's perspective, you get relegated, your club gets relegated. The next day you wake up. How's that feel?
Awful. Your contract's going to change. You're not sure whether they're going to sell a lot of players because they need to trim the squad. But for me, it was, okay, here we go again then. You know, we go again in the league below. So our situation, we had some big-time players at that point. We got relegated with a points deduction, which was... So I won't take that on my resume because we did something
wrong. Yeah, that's relevant to Everton right now. Yeah.
Please write that down.
He's like, if we had a better lawyer, we'd still be up.
That's literally right. We had 3 points. We didn't show up for a game. Premier League, the Middlesbrough, we didn't show up for a game in the mid-90s or whatever because we had an injury and an illness breakout and we can't field a team, Premier League.
Right.
Oh, okay, yeah. And they say they got assurances it's okay. So we didn't show up at the game. Blackburn away. And then the Premier League then after was like, well, you shouldn't have done that. You broke rules. 3 points deducted. Wow. And we was having a struggle over the season anyway.
Yeah.
Saying that, we reached 2 cup finals, which was random, weird. League Cup final and FA Cup final in the same year. And we got relegated. Anyway, we got a big QC in terms of the lawyer, thinking we're going to get the points back. It's going to take us away from the relegation zone. Well, we lost the appeal. 3 points stuck. We got relegated by... 2 points.
Oh, brutal.
Wow.
So that's not, I had nothing to do with me.
Yeah, yeah.
I had nothing to do with me, so I don't
I put in the tackle to maintain those points.
That's not me. But anyway.
You're at the market being like, don't boo me, boo the crowd.
Exactly. The manager and the chief executive. But we bounced back. So back to your point, the question, you got to get on with it. We had Juninho, we had some fancy big-time players that left because you got relegated. And, Steady Eddie's.
Juninho
was our best ever player at Middlesbrough.
Dead ball specialist.
Amazing. Yeah, little dude. I mean, honestly, he's as tall as this table.
Really?
I'm not joking. Well, I am joking, but he's so small, you wouldn't believe it.
But literally,
his legs were like that. He had little legs.
Might be the greatest dead ball specialist of all time.
He was brilliant. He was brilliant. And sadly,
Olympic
he left.
Olympic Lyon, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, wasn't it? No, it was. Well, there's so many Juninhos, by the way. So yeah, he went to Atletico Madrid after us.
But he became a legend at Olympic. No. We're talking about the same one.
No, it's a different one.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a different one.
There was a
and,
LA
but
Galaxy
our Juninho was good at free kicks as well.
Yeah.
So I think there's two Juninhos that are good at free kicks. We're the little dude.
But what I'm talking about, I think, went 6 months to Red Bull. It's crazy how many Juninhos
But
that's incredible. Yeah, I think people don't realize that we were talking to a player that was in MLS and then moved to the Mexican League. And he was talking about how after a loss... He was like all sad, and then you know, he had played in MLS. So then he was like, I'm going to go to a restaurant. And he went to a restaurant, and when he came back, people were like, you left? He's like, yeah. And the other players were like, don't leave after you lose. You cannot leave your home. I can't imagine what after getting relegated that might be like, especially in the town where everyone lives and breathes.
The whole town is depressed. It affects the whole town massively.
Yeah.
And everyone's miserable, but they all pull together because that's what English fans do. I mean, and this goes back to the Everton fan who's fed up and why are you supporting my club? Because it's a grind to be a fan of, particularly of a club that goes up and down. You get excited, you're back in the Premier League, and then all of a sudden, whatever happens, the team's not very good. The Premier League's kind of hard to stay into. It's kind of good. So then you rally again and you go again. And we went straight back up again.
Yeah,
so
small clubs are struggling to stay in the Premier League, right? You look at Sheffield United or Manchester United.
Yeah, Burnley and all these new guys. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got to toss them some support. They need it.
They should get, I don't know, maybe some help.
Well, I loved your sort of breakdown of on this weekend about Everton and their possible 12-point deduction.
Because you know now why, because I've been there with point deduction.
So it was very sincere. And
was it just Robbie with sunglasses?
Crying.
Lawyer up. Lawyer up.
I've been here, kid.
Get a mob lawyer. Get somebody who's going to defend you.
So we were sort of making jokes about it, and I'm trying to have make it a little bit lighthearted. But it is, you know, Everton. I think the win against West Ham probably had a little bit something to do with all this news, right? There is a definitely a fear that this could happen, but this idea that the Premier League, like. I say this all the time. I'm in this Everton group chat it's all comedians in Liverpool that are all Everton fans, right? And I got into it somehow.
Wow.
It's
just like, that's crazy.
So I get like this.
By the way, like 3 days into the group chat, he's like, I get a feeling that they all hate Everton. There's such negativity around it.
I don't know if they love Everton more than they hate Liverpool. That's kind of the sense I get. But a lot of it is... They sort of call out the hypocrisy of essentially kind of implying that this penalty would be way, way too harsh and would that they're trying to – they're claiming that the Premier League is trying to set an example of this club by I don't know, whatever they did with
coming down real harsh on them.
Losses or whatever, but and not – you know, going at Manchester City the way, you know, with all these charges, like, is it as simple as that they need to word things differently? Like if a better lawyer can explain themselves a little bit better, that they could get away from such a harsh penalty? Or is this the future of how the Premier League is going to be policed and the records are going to be kept and things like that?
That's more accurate. They're very, 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 very different cases, Man City. So I think these sustainability and whatever the name of it all
is. Fair play.
The whole idea, but they got the Premier League got their own
profitability
name.
And profitability, sustainability.
So without bringing the podcast out, 3 years you're allowed to lose 100 million, 105 million pounds. They've lost 370 million pounds, so they're way off of that. So it's a 3 year. So that's a very simple case. Here it is. Here's what they've done. They can try and mitigate that. Well, we had COVID and everything else. Which they're going to fight that. Mm-hmm. But that's theirs. Man City's is over like a flipping 10 year period, and it's not complying with rules and very different rule breaking they've done. You know, more serious, like potentially more serious, like alleged and all that kind of stuff that we have to say. But it's very different to, this is our policy, and we're going to check on everybody now. Oh, Everton, you're way off. Like, this is not good. This is why these rules are in place.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it's a different case. It really is kind of different. But it's the first thing that people, social media, are like, what about Man City? How are they getting away with it? And we've got no idea when that's going to get pushed through, which is incredibly annoying because we all want to enjoy City for what they've done. But if they broke the rules way back, I think it was up to 2018, was it? Like a 10-year period or something.
Yeah.
All sorts of different things. Paying coaches to be consultants for other businesses and all these weird things that they've been and not giving the data for the, you know, and not complying. So it's complicated. They'll fight it. They got a lot of money. So they're going to get very expensive lawyers or whatever to try and help them. And this Everton case, I think it's just it's so different. Okay, it's the 3 year rule. This is the 3 year profit thing. And you're way out. So I understand the Premier League sort of like, this is what these rules are here for. We don't want clubs going crazy. Now, the strange thing was, And did I say it on air? I think I might have said it at the weekend, is that you wouldn't expect a team to be near the relegation zone if they've spent irresponsibly.
Yeah, everything has spent so much money.
It's amazing. He spent so much, so badly, that you've broke the rules and you're worse off given that. I mean, that's incredible.
If you showed someone an Everton match who knows nothing about the Premier League and you said, these guys broke a rule... And then I think it would give
them
maybe
50 tries. They spent too much money.
50 tries before they figured out that they spent too much money. This team seems like the rule is they didn't spend enough. They didn't hit the minimum. You know?
The players need more money.
You've seen those 11.
They need more money to be more motivated to succeed for the club.
You should have paid them in jewels, man.
I wish the Premier League would be like, I feel bad for Everton. We'll let it slide. But no, I mean, obviously, that's not realistic. But
you're so bad. We're giving you 12 points. Can you try to stay up?
Look, it just highlights the risk involved in just being in the Premier League.
He's fired up about this. Right. Yeah. He's fired up about it.
This is what he's saying in the group chat. But, these are the voice notes he leaves on the
but
WhatsApp.
But year after year, as more and more money is involved in the Premier League,
right.
it is the margins of error get smaller and smaller.
Well, it's catastrophic to not be in the Premier League because of how much money you get just being in the Premier League.
So it's just feeling like, it happens in the U.S. very often where clubs fold, and it's happened obviously. It happens all over the world, but we understand in the U.S. it happens because if you're not in Major League Soccer, you're not bringing in as much revenue. It's difficult to grow
TV revenue,
the whole thing, and that's why the Premier League has the rules to begin with, so that teams don't overspend, put themselves in bad financial situations. So
exactly right. That's what the rules are there for.
Yeah.
So what's your point?
So the point is just that.
Because, what a great question.
Because the new stadium, point? I mean, they're trying to get this extra financing from this 777 investment fund, right?
No, they will be welcoming Derby County into that stadium.
Making is that it's harder and harder to be like, to run a club incompetently. You know what I mean? Like, maybe 10, 15 years ago it was a little bit easier. Maybe there wasn't as much oversight.
Are you suggesting that there's no way to stay in the Premier League following the rules?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying,
you're saying it's hard to break those rules?
I'm saying, yes. Well, it seems like it's harder now to break the rules than it was in the past. I'm completely speculating by saying that, but it just seems like to break such an egregious error where it's like, hey, you can only file for like $105 million loss and it's like $300. It's very difficult to explain that. And I think maybe the people running Everton thought that they could.
Yeah. Oh, it's Mashiri, isn't it?
Right,
fired
right.
Mashiri. And in some ways, like Everton fans, this is great. Like, spend all this money. And yet, but that's breaking the rules, and that's now why they're in big trouble. And it's tough to spend that much money and be so poor.
Yeah,
really. I mean, that's the bottom line. But
I got friends that do it.
but if it's because the Usmanov, the Russian money that he got, what's the word? Maybe they all got sanctioned or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they were in. My understanding was that they need this investment badly.
Yeah.
So this is the reason why the rules exist, because if some guy comes in and spends a load of money, then blows all his money, they're terrible or whatever, and then he's caught on the borrowed money or whatever it is, the club could be in jeopardy. Yeah. And that's why the rule's there. Now, I don't think Everton would ever be, because they're such a big club and a big name and someone's always going to want to invest, but you don't know.
Yeah,
they are. And they've got a stadium, they're halfway built, they can't finish it off apparently without some investment, so... The rule's there for the reason of trying to protect the football club. Of some guy coming in, some idiot coming in and spending money and then they got big debts and then he goes away and club are in big trouble.
So help us bridge the gap. Let us understand the idea that the British public has with what owning a club is like. Because for Americans, the owner, there's something that somebody mentioned which I thought was really intriguing, that when an American team wins a championship, we will typically call it a world championship because we don't care about the rest of the planet.
Yeah.
But like say baseball, you win the World Series, the owner is handed the trophy first.
Yeah,
and then it hands the team.
Yeah.
In England, the owner's up in the box.
Yeah.
The owner is separate from the team.
Yeah,
almost
so
always
different.
Hated.
So different.
But the idea that an owner, to us, this is so...
I know.
We don't get it. The idea that an owner, it's almost bad if you've made a profit.
Oh, don't. You can't make a profit. You can't take any money out of the club.
But here's the thing. How, why would anybody buy a club if you, if you're just going to lose money?
Well,
or spend your money.
Can,
I just
can
don't
it be like a good business investment at all?
You know it cannot. It cannot. It cannot.
Interesting.
You don't want it to be. Or well, you suggest that are you saying theoretically it can't, or you're saying it goes against the spirit?
I'll tell you who's making a lot of money and have taken money out. So I say you can't take money out, but you can, and people have. The Glazers and Manchester United.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I was going next, but go ahead.
but they've taken
Manchester
money
United
out.
Their debit card.
And they're going to sell that club. Well, they're not going to sell it, but the valuation of $6 or $7 billion, I don't even know if it's pounds or dollars, I don't really care.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, they bought it for way. So they are going to make a lot of money, but there isn't many of those, and they're hated.
Yeah.
Because anytime they take out these big dividends, the fans are going to demand you put it into the squad, because they're there and we're not the very best. Unless you're the very best of the very best, maybe the fans will be okay with the owners making some profit on it. It's just not. I always say to people that about buying a football club in England, you're not going to make any money. You know that. You just know that. You won't be allowed to make any money because the fans will always want players, and they'll always, you know.
Yeah.
I think about Randy Lerner that went into Aston Villa. There's more examples of Americans coming into Premier League football and having a terrible experience. The guy Ellis in Sunderland.
Yeah.
I mean, you are gonna lose money.
So why would anyone do this?
It's just, I don't know. It's fun.
You're like, I got no clue now.
I know. Well, if you want to be the man at a club,
but every owner's hated, what owner's loved?
Well, the local guy. So my club, Middlesbrough. The owner, Steve Gibson, is a local business guy.
And that's why they're in the Premier League.
Yeah, well.
You either need oil money or an American who wants to bleed your club.
But if you're,
those are the two options you have.
Yeah, the poor local guy that just wants to see his club, that's back to your, you know, like, why do they do it? Well, if you've got that amount of money and you've been a Middlesbrough fan all your life and you're Steve Gibson, I want to own the club. And I'll put all my profit for my business, and I'll lose that profit in my football club. So that's how that kind of works. But now the Premier League high returns of that and the oil money.
But you understand how that's not sustainable. To ask more and more millionaires and billionaires at this point to continue to lose their money so that you could celebrate. You understand?
Yeah, I know.
Maybe there's, in England that's just understood. Hey, if I got all that money, I could lose it all in this club.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's okay. I just don't understand why fans expect that. Which brings me to... Newcastle. Oh, sorry. Brings me to... No, they're just fine. It brings me to Manchester United.
Okay.
Just... I don't even care about the owners. Just the product on the pitch that we've seen week in and week out. The disdain. The lack of Old Trafford being a fortress. Bro, when you played in this league, in the early aughts, they were... Well, this monolith that couldn't be beat, mainly because the refs would give them as much time as they wanted after the match. But after the 90th. But talk about... Just the juxtaposition of what you used to witness firsthand and what we're seeing today.
Well, first off, I mean, that team that I played against in the 90s, Ferguson's, Beckham, Giggs, Scholes, Keane, that kind of, you know, Stam, that Schmeichel. I mean, just standing in the tunnel looking at these guys. And by the way, I just felt towards the end of my career, players were getting taller. Like, yeah. Wow. The size of these guys.
Yeah.
So that
next
team,
to Juninho, you're like, yeah. Whoa.
Yeah. You're like, Juninho, stand up on your tippy toe. I'm trying to intimidate these guys.
So those days were amazing days. And they, for us, or for mid-level teams and below, it's a special day to go to Old Trafford. But and actually,
it's
randomly, I'm pleased you asked about
you
it.
Win.
Because we actually did win there a few times, actually, randomly. We were the last team to beat Man United. When they won the treble in 1999.
Oh, wow.
Random fun fact for you. Yeah, so we were the last team to be at Old Trafford. And that was a day where all their players surrounded Durso, the referee, and they got in big trouble because he gave us a penalty and Roy Keane's neck's popping out to try and kill the referee. But anyway, so amazing. Amazing. Alex Ferguson's was, you know, you'd see him come out of the tunnel, you know, and it's, you know, it was a thing. It was a feeling of, wow, this is it for English football, really. Now, where do I start? Well,
you look like Eric Ten Hag.
Yeah, tactic. Yeah. Well, it starts from the very top. It starts from the ownership, doesn't it? So I've said on air that it wants ripping up.
Is this not just the safest thing for an English person or someone with an English accent to say? Well, like, you're not going to get lambasted in the comments if you say it's the ownership.
Oh, but what, for me to say that?
Yeah.
You mean? Yeah, but I feel that's the truth.
Yeah.
I feel that's the truth. It's the ownership. Well, because the owners make the selections beneath them. Okay, mm-hmm. So the owners recruit the CEO, the directors that are going to organize the stuff. My thought is, owner, you should have a director of the sporting side, the football side, and the commercial side. Ed Woodward is brilliant commercially.
Banker.
And yet he was doing the football side.
Doesn't know what he's doing there.
Doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Well,
that's like recruitment. If you show up to a nutritionist and you got me sitting there and I'm like, hey, Robbie, I think we got a mistake. I think this guy's supposed to fill the vending machine. That's the Ed Woodward in the football league.
So there's been that. And then they gave that responsibility to a guy called John Murta, who's a inexperienced director of football. So the football side of it, so the recruitment has been awful for many, many seasons. You can go back, and I haven't got my list here now, but the most expensive signings of Manchester United over the last decade, you go through that list. It's a shocking list.
It's like Paul Pogba.
Yeah, yeah, you got Maguire was there. Anthony's there. Obviously. Sancho's there. You go back further than that. There's other players that I can't think of right now. Sebastian Varane was an expensive signing. Oof. So players haven't really done it, but more like in this last decade, I suppose, the recruitment's been the worst part. And you know, who's hiring the CEO or the director of football? It's the owner, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So unless you get an owner that really wants to win, then I think again, this is, maybe it's unfair, but the ownership, the Glazers and stuff, how's our profit and loss? We're doing okay. How's our share price? Okay, where are we in the league? We're Champions League. Oh, that's good. And that's it. Now, you get an owner that wants to really, really win, like Abramovich at Chelsea in those years. Yeah. We're not. He's lost five games. Boom, next. We want trophies. We want to win. So I have to go to the very top, because if they want to win, you've hired everybody below you. Get better people, and then that goes down to the director of football, the manager, and the players.
We need owners that like are obsessed with like Football Manager. You know, like absolute nerds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That really like know every in and out.
Staying up at night, like, have you heard about this 12-year-old in Costa Rica? I think we got one. Yeah.
I think that there's sort of I feel like as I've gotten older, you start realizing like that it's. Like football is like much less mystified in lore, and it's like
because it was for a while. That's a good point.
It felt that way for a long time.
Like these must be geniuses.
Sir Alex,
making
you're like, wow.
The recruiters, the top decision makers.
Just like the people who run the clubs.
You think it's like they have this like passion and vision and whatever, and then it's like you get older and you're like, oh no, these people are just good at their job. They just like knew what to focus on. They adapted with trends and. Times changing and stuff like that. And Manchester United feel like a team that are just stuck in, as far as on a footballing side, they just stuck 15, 20 years ago.
So I think, so in terms of the other end of the scale, right, and these clubs aren't as big, Brighton and Brentford,
right?
They got owners that care about it and they're very smart and they recruit incredibly well with data and blooming. They've got algorithms and they've got, it's
Brentford is a completely different animal though. They got rid of their academy.
Yeah, they
only
really
have a
went.
B team, which what 17 to 21 year olds playing there.
They trust their recruitment mega computer to pick out these players from all over the place. We'll put the money into that more than developing young kids that very rarely come through. Whatever. Brighton is probably the best example of it. I'm not saying United need or should be like that, but please be a little bit more like that.
Yeah.
Well, there's some joined up thinking and some recruitment policy going on, and I mean Man City and United fans will hate me for saying it. I mean, they really are aligned. And Pep said it in his press conference before this derby. He said, hey, Man United, when they make some good appointments, you know, like, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but it's like, you know, when they get the right people in place, they'll be back. And they will be. But City have got Bergerstein from Barcelona, director of football. Then they always wanted Pep. They got him, you know, the academy. They are all on the same page about how they want to play. The recruitment's really great. I mean, the four signings they brought in this summer, they're all excellent.
Yeah.
There's no stories about Man City players flopping. One or two, I think, over like a 10, 20-year period. I mean, it's like
Calvin Phillips is just.
Yeah, let's go.
He's putting. How can you flop if you don't play? Think about it. If you don't put your money down on a poker table, you don't lose. It's genius.
Yeah. But there aren't many. There aren't many that don't play much. You know what I mean?
I do want to ask about this this season and just your initial thoughts. We are 10 matches in. Tottenham are at the top of the table.
Incredible.
This
brilliant story.
Yeah, that's not going to last.
Brilliant story. I mean, I think it might. Well, that stopped you. That stopped you.
Well, because I was going to say, you remember playing through the winter. The Premier League doesn't stop. You guys are Boxing Day, Cardboard Day. Yeah,
but what haven't they got? They haven't got... Boxing Day. A couple of boxes. No. They've got European football. They're out of the League Cup. They're weekend to weekend. Yeah,
there's some different. Else? They don't have anyone past the first 11. What happens when AFCON? When
they've got some. They've got a few. They've got Bentancur coming back from injury. Okay. Rodrigo Bentancur, midfield players, very, very good.
All right.
That's why I have my notes. I got it. But no, they got. But anyway, listen, if everybody stays fit, which is a massive if, right? They got a few people to come in to support. They got no midweeks. They can. Rest, recover, plan, prepare for every Premier League game really well. And why not stay there for a considerable period of time?
How about stay there for 250 days and then watch City take it over? As an Arsenal player, I had to watch that.
I mean, it would be quite... I mean, if Tottenham managed to pull this off and actually be at the top of the table at the end of the season, I mean, what would that...
I honestly think a magnetic field won't allow them to hold the trophy. They'll be like trying to get it.
Well, Leicester did it. Leicester got it. I mean, it's the same sort of thing, is it? I mean, with even more so Leicester. I mean, I was in a shit like, they ain't staying there. There's no chance they're staying there. And of course, they went all the way. And Spurs, you're like, could they? So,
I don't think they will. Go to their next matches. Because they do have a, I'm not just.
They had a fairly easy, I think.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, what's coming up? They have Chelsea.
That's on Monday. I'm in for that one. That's home.
We're looking at Robbie's work schedule.
Right? Chelsea could be an easy match. Wolves beat City, if I'm not mistaken.
Wolves are good. Wolves are all right. I like
Villa,
the manager.
On the come they're up. Really good. Emery they're really good. Good. Yeah. City, yeah, there's tough. A chopping block. West Ham could play it tough. Newcastle, amazing. Nottingham Forest, there's an easy weekend. You know what I mean? No disrespect to the American goalkeeper. I mean, that's a pretty tough run-up. I think we'll see who
they are. We're going to see more, yeah. Haven't you loved it? And it'd been nice. Arsenal fans. Are you an Arsenal fan?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. That's why
you... What are you talking about?
We've got Arsenal fans in our studio as well, by the way. Our stage manager and our researchers are Arsenal fans.
Yeah, are you shocked at how many Arsenal fans are in America?
There's a lot of Arsenal fans, yeah. Maybe... Yeah. The most that I would say that I've come into contact with or spoke to or whatever, I feel like. There's a lot of Liverpool fans. I mean, Man United, I don't know if it goes how teams are doing, but I mean, there's always a lot of Man United fans, but Arsenal and Liverpool, it seems to be like loads of them.
Yeah, I think Arsenal did a good job of reaching out to Americans, but once I saw Thierry Henry put the socks over the knees, I was done. I was like, that's my guy.
Yeah. All right, Robbie, we have some questions from our supporters, our fans, that have questions for you.
Oh,
this is questions from Gully Squad, everybody who joins like our Patreon. They get to ask some questions to our guests.
You're very confused by the term Gully Squad. It's like an alleyway squad.
Gully is like
an old hip-hop term for like being brave.
Being we'll tough, say. being gully, being street.
This guy, he's a tough guy.
Yeah, this is a Gully Squad.
No, this is our crew. We would say we were the gulliest show. Because we would, back before when we weren't so brand safe, we would say exactly how we felt. Okay. But now we are trying to protect our bag.
But I love this. I got a couple questions. This is from Dave Hageman. He says, rate these Robbies in order from least Robbie to most Robbie.
So least to most.
Oh, so the parameter is being a Robbie.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So we'll give you a list of Robbies.
Oh, gosh.
Worst to best.
Okay.
Worst or to best. Least to most.
Okay.
Right. So Robbie Savage.
Lowest. Right there.
Robbie Robertson and Margot Robbie.
So Margot Robbie's
the top Robbie. top Robbie.
High.
Okay. And so then Robbie Robertson would be.
Who's Robbie Robertson?
Who is Robbie Robertson?
You act like I know. I thought he was like a.
Is that a singer?
I'm looking this up.
Our producer's going to confirm. So because
Robertson?
Robbie Robertson.
Some Canadian musician.
Okay.
Yeah.
The lead guitarist.
I'll stick him in the middle. I'll stick him in the middle. Those
lead guitarist for Bob Dylan.
Okay. So, yeah, that's good. But I think Margot Robbie probably tops out.
Yeah. I think even Robbie Robertson would agree.
Yeah.
Margot takes top.
Yeah. and Robbie Savage is bottom. Robbie Savage, I played against him, remember, and he was a particularly nasty, mouthy, chopsy opponent, and gave me stick for being an old man right then towards the end of my career. You know, yeah. Get off here, you old man. What are you doing out here, you old man, type of stuff.
All right.
So that was good. I got fired up and whacked him a few times. Actually, I think he was the only player, by the way. In fact, he was the only player. And I had to get calmed down by big old Brian Dean, striker for us. He's the only player, and I don't know whether I should be saying this on a live mic like this, that I actually tried to hurt in the tackle.
Wow. So that this is... Wait, this has come up with... There was somebody else that said this. And I understand that it's like a... It's a deep thing to admit, right? To say, yeah, like...
And also it's an unprofessional thing to admit.
Right, without a doubt.
And that's one thing I was. I wasn't a super technical player. I wasn't a Thierry Henry or a Dennis Bergkamp or all those guys. But I was honest, you know? And I could run. And I was mentally quite tough. That's the only time in nearly 20 years that I was like, any time the ball is, I'm going to fly in. And,
right.
And
just, was it just,
all the time. Hitting? Yeah.
Okay.
And he's always playing to the fans and stuff like that. And he was a tough, decent player. I need to say, but he wound me up a lot. Well, so he's bottom of Robbie forever.
Well, we know what.
Well, I'll tell you this. If I ever see Margot Robbie, I'll tackle her. Just to kind of even it out, you know what I mean?
We know what jokes to not make at the next fan fest.
Yeah.
Okay, this is from Justin Friedberg. He asked a question: who has the best style on the crew?
Very good question.
I just want to preface this because you guys just did a segment I saw on social media where you were judging Tim Howard's.
Well, that was others. Yeah, that was an idea by others, but we did.
That wasn't mean spirited.
No, it was
like
fun,
that.
Wasn't it? Was, yeah. I thought Earl was a bit. I thought he was a little bit harsh a couple of times.
I can see
in true Earl fashion.
I'm not going to give Tim too much stick for his gear. He's pretty well dressed.
He's a very well dressed guy. Best style. I mean, it's competitive. I think it's very competitive.
Before Tim came to our team, I would say Robbie Earl. He's a really stylish guy.
Yeah.
Unusual, sharp. Cares about what he looks like. You're really, really smart. Got a good eye. He helps me, by the way. I'm bottom of the list. Bottom of the list. And the reason I'm
you're the Robbie Savage, obviously.
Yeah. The reason I'm bottom of the list is that I'm colorblind. That's my get out. I'm colorblind. So I don't wear the fancy little, what do you call that? The pocket square.
Yeah.
Because that's another color stuff that I don't want to get into.
Yeah.
And I have people put my clothes out for my ties, and sometimes I'll go in the makeup room where Rebecca's got her hair in.
So you're just like, gray shirt.
Is this all right? exactly. And I have to ask, sometimes I have Tim and Robbie like, is this okay? You know, because the wardrobe girl will put stuff in my room and like, is this really all right? Looks a bit funny to me, but they'll say if it is or it isn't.
Yeah.
So that's my excuse for not being at the top of this list. And Robbie would have been, but I think Tim's this most stylish guy. Rebecca's really like classy and good and she has her style, but I think Tim, he cares about it a lot.
Yeah.
And I think he looks great. And I think he would be the winner
on that. He looks so good in a suit, it annoys me.
Yeah, it's just so perfectly
I'm just
fitting.
Like, is that what a suit's supposed to
look like? I think he probably got the most fanciest blooming tailor and everything gets cut to him and all that. Well, I'm off the rack.
So I'm just like looking at him, I'm like, why is your body so well chiseled?
Yeah.
What is going on? Yeah.
I made the joke once in Premier League Fan Fest, like, if you don't scream, I'm gonna the louder you scream, the closer I'll get to his chin, his calf. I was like, I'll scratch his calf. And when I did it, it was like this. Like, it was like it made that noise, his calf. I'm like, what? Is he wearing shin guards on the back of his calf right now?
Anybody's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, he ain't going to like that. I don't think he's going to like
your
team.
He knew. He heard me, thank God.
Right.
Because I'm like, I don't want to get a heel kicked.
So I think Tim wins that.
Amazing. Yeah. You know what? This is my last question, guys, out of curiosity. Your color blindness, did it affect your football in any way?
Once. And I'll tell you the story if you want. So, Middlesbrough at home versus Liverpool, 90s, Carlsbad green shirt. Remember the Carlsberg, the beer, the Carlsberg shirt.
That shirt's worth a lot of money now.
Yeah, and that's a big game for us, right? You know, when you're in Middlesbrough and stuff, to come into our stadium, we're red there in green. Paul Gascoigne was in the play, is in the team instead of me for that particular game. Gazza,
yeah,
like,
yeah, of course.
Crazy. So I'm on the bench. Gazza does something stupid. He tries to knock somebody over the head and breaks his arm or something. He does something like early, like after about 20 minutes. And we have Brian Robson, very famous Man United legend and our manager that time, go and warm up. So I'm warming up and I'm sort of doing my stretches. I'm looking across the pitch. I didn't really think about it before. When you warm up before the game, you've got tops on and stuff like that. And I'm stretching. I'm like, bloody hell. I'm struggling to see the difference of the shirt colours here on this red and green, which is the worst for colourblind guys, really. Yeah. So I'm like, this is all going through my head really quickly. And of course, the fans are all like, oh, right, we go and get them and all that. And there's 35,000 people there. It's a big, big game. So I've got two options, haven't I? I've got two options. Option number one, just get on with it and look at socks or whatever. And risk having a nightmare of a game that might have affected the performance. And just before I tell you what I did, you know, when you're playing, you've got little flicks up of looking what's around you in the right. ball. So you know, I need it to be contrasting strongly, really. So I'm guessing, and I ain't got time to like, oh yeah, socks. What? I ain't got time for that. So.
They're like, why'd he clear the ball in the other box?
Yeah.
It's like, the people who look mad at me, I think they're not on my team.
Yeah.
Why are the fans so angry with me? Yeah. What have I do wrong?
Yeah.
So that's one to go on there and try and do it. And the other one was just sort of say, I've never said anything to anybody about it and say to my manager, excuse me, but you know, I really shouldn't go on the field. I'm colorblind and I'm finding it difficult to pick up colors. So that's it. So one or two. So I went to Brian Robson and said, I shouldn't go on. And he gave me the biggest bollocking of all time. Viv Anderson, the assistant manager, you should tell us this. So give me the biggest bollocking of all time in front of the fans.
Wow.
Go and sit back down on the bench. And a guy called Keith O'Neill came in instead. And we won the game 1-0. So it all worked out.
Wow.
But that was my decision. And I think it was the right one.
Did you have to explain that afterwards?
Yeah.
Press conference?
No, just a manager. No. I can't remember them picking it up.
Wow.
But it's the one time, because mostly it's like, you know, it's red and blue, or it's white and black, black and white stripes. Or red. So it's very rare, but that was the one. That Carlsberg green shirt was a nightmare for me. And that, of course, I'd only been at home because they play in their red when they're at home. But it worked out.
Wow.
There, that's literally taking one for the team.
Yeah, wow.
That is incredible. I just want to look at the shirt.
Carlsberg Green, get it on, yeah.
It
would have been mid to late 90s. Carlsberg, the beer. It's Liverpool, Carlsberg Green. Nope, not none of those. Is that green?
That is green.
So I can't even tell what color it is. That's going to be the...
I see
a reddy, greeny, browny color. Okay. I don't really see a color. I just can't put a name on a color.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, I mean, I you asked me.
That's 1992.
Oh, okay. All right. I mean, but it was something similar to this.
Similar to that.
Yeah, I get the idea. All right. I mean, this is, it's fascinating.
Can you imagine what sort of player I would have been if I wasn't colorblind? It would have been a fantastic player.
Oh, I was just saying that before you got here.
I know. Did you think of that?
I'm like, yeah, he'd be playing in the Saudi League right now. It's my video.
Robbie Musto, this has been an absolute
honor. It was fun, man. I feel like
we got like such a small sliver, man.
Welcome back anytime. Anytime you're in the city, you're welcome by the studio. Everybody, obviously, if you do not have, you know, see Robbie regularly on weekends, make sure you do that on NBC, on USA, on Peacock.
And we have a little podcast. And tune into our little podcast, the Two Robbies podcast, where we go over the weekend storylines, not such a funny way, but we try and...
No, but I like what I like about it is it's two English voices, but you're not... You're doing it from a much more...
Yeah, relaxed, and we're selling it. Yeah, we're just going back and forth.
It feels a bit more positive. It feels like you guys have been influenced by America a little bit.
Yeah. You're
slightly more optimistic.
Two Robbies are our two British uncles, okay? That you guys are just like a part of how I think a lot of Americans consume the sport and have been introduced to
the
sport.
And we're top of your Robbies list. We will be top of your Robbies list.
Above Mark.
Really?
Yeah, because remember, I tackled her. That's what knocked her down at third.
Okay.
I'm not hurting Margot Robbie.
Barbie in crutches.
Yeah.
Crutch Barbie. Anyway. Robbie Musto, thank you so much for joining us. Seriously, an absolute
honor. Enjoyed
it.
It's a real honor. Love it. Love you guys.
All right,
thank you very
much.
Thank you.
Robbie, we've been mustoed.
Yes. You know what? I don't know if I should hug him. I don't know if I should high five him. I don't know if I should move in with him and his lady.
Okay.
Right? Don't you get that sense, dude?
I'm a family member now.
I want him to make me a cup of tea and to tell me cool stories.
And he has So, and we, like, we just kind of scratched the surface.
Bro, he comes up on a crazy story without even thinking about it. He's like, oh, yeah, did I tell you about that time I defused a bomb? And we're like, what? Bro, he was like, it was the 83rd minute. I'm like, how are you doing this during a game?
Robbie, I think this is the plot to Die Hard 3. But yeah.
He's like, did I ever tell you when I tried to steal the Constitution? I'm like, I thought that was you, dude.
No, but absolutely amazing. We got to get Robbie back on. Maybe the two Robbies one day.
Let's get both Robbies.
Who knows?
Dude.
Double the Robbie.
Oh, it's in your search history.
Two Robbies, one pod.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
Oh, boy.
Man, this coffee stinks.
I'm glad Robbie left for this. He didn't have to witness this.
Have you ever seen it? You know the reference? It's a good bit.
All right.
Mike threw his hands up in the air in disgust, just so you know.
I was laughing. It was
all right. So, as again, another reminder, we'll be back on Thursday covering all the MLS playoff action of those the first match days for the the first round of the playoffs.
Tight Five making its return.
Oh, yeah.
Thursday.
Tight Five comes back. The fans have spoken. Yes, you love the Tight like Five. It.
We've gotten three, maybe four comments in support.
There we go.
People love Tight Five, so we're going to be bringing it back on Thursday. So, we had to give Robbie Musto the floor today because it was just such a special and great episode. So
he gets the whole thing. Yeah, by the way, don't worry about it. The playoffs take like 4 months to conclude. Okay. But more than enough time.
By the time the World Cup is here, MLS playoffs 2023 will be over.
Match two is in like 10 days. Match three, next year. Not bad.
Okay. All right. We'll be back on Thursday, everybody. Y'all the absolute best. Peace.
Love you guys.